This morning we're continuing in our series Gospel Rooted Living, and we're looking at Galatians chapter 2, and I really feel and felt, well, over the last 36 hours in particular, that God wants us to grow in listening to him and speaking out. And some of you have stolen my last point, because in community, as we gather together to worship in a public environment, in community, you have spoken from the heart of God to God and to his people so that his people can carry on worshiping and walking with Jesus. For those of you that cannot see what I've got on the platform here, it is a balance beam for gymnastics. And when you do balance work, what do you do straight away? You put your arms out, and if you're going to walk forwards, you need to look where you're going. If you want to know what we're thinking about today, is we're thinking about having our arms out in an open posture and looking at what God is saying. And it might be that if you were trying to learn to walk on a balance beam, it might be that people would encourage you and would say, keep going, don't fall, and if you do fall, get back. Okay, and in life, we have a balancing act. There's a wonderful film called Dead Poets Society. We do have a clip, but just for time, I'm going to just summarize it. Robin Williams is a teacher. He's teaching poetry, and he gets these boys in this public school in the States to, he takes them out into the courtyard, and three of them are asked to walk around the square. And they're walking around it, and within moments, they start walking in unison, in conformity. And the other boys are there watching, and they're smiling, and then they start clapping in tune to the march. And Robin Williams basically then says, what we saw is how easy it is to conform. How easy it is to move away from your own walk and conform to the walk around you. And it's the same with walking the Christian life. If this isn't just a balance beam, but this is the gospel pathway, living in step with the gospel, it is easy to wobble and fall into living our lives thinking that we can earn God's favor or earn God's approval. In verse 10 of Galatians 2, which we're looking at, it says that Paul was reminded to look after the poor. And sometimes we can do things thinking, and they can be good things, but thinking that that will make us better approved by God. It's not saying not to do them, but sometimes we can fall or wobble into following what God wants us to do as a way of earning God's favor. And then there are other times as we're walking on the gospel pathway, following our lives, following Jesus, trying to walk the root of God, and we've had, well, what was that word? Done. From a few weeks ago, it was grace. Thanks for remembering. It's a gospel of grace. We don't earn it. We cannot do anything to deserve God's love. We can't pay for it. We can't work for it. God gives us his salvation for free. But sometimes we can say, because of God's grace, we can wobble and fall into a kind of, the big word is license. We have a license, not like James Bond, license to kill, but license to live however we want to, doing whatever we want to, because we will always be forgiven. And in Galatians, Paul addresses legalism, and in the later chapters he addresses license. Because actually he knows that it's easy to wobble when we're walking in the gospel. A gospel of love and of liberty. Hang on, whoops. Gospel where we cannot earn God's love, we cannot earn our freedom, but we need to live our lives in response to love from God and the liberty that Jesus won for us on the cross. And the two things, as I said earlier on, we're to have our arms out and our eyes open.
Good.
The context of Galatians chapter 2, where we have this balancing act, is that there are some people who have infiltrated a meeting in Jerusalem and have tried to get people to conform to the old ways, the legalism. We see that in verse 4. But also, as we will see next week, I'm putting some of this week's passage into next week, in verse 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, we see that Peter himself is guilty of conforming to the people around him. He was trying to walk according to the gospel, but when other people came along, he wobbled and fell into an old way of being, and Paul challenges him on that, but we'll focus in on that next week. The reason we're focusing in on that next week is I believe God wants to grow in us and encourage us to be a church that listens to him more, to be a church that sees what he is doing by his Holy Spirit and moves in that direction. To be a church that has our arms out, holding on to one another so that we do not wobble, but through the Holy Spirit and the grace of God revealed in his words, we walk the gospel path. We're going to look at two verses and use some of the other verses in Galatians chapter 2 to help us understand what's going on. Let's read together. If you want to have the notes, they're on a piece of paper at the back, but also on the YouVersion Bible app. I'm just going to leave this up for 5 seconds if you want that QR code, or you can just go to the app. In the bottom right-hand corner, there are 3 little lines. Press that, go to events, and you'll find the notes there. Ready? Good. Galatians chapter 2. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preached among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure that I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God shows no favoritism. They added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they recognize that I've been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. For God, who is at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, also known as Peter, and John, those esteemed pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing that I had been eager to do all along. We need our arms out if we're going to keep in step with the gospel. And our arms out needs to be holding on to one another as well as holding on to Jesus and his word. We need multiple arms, but we need to be supporting one another in community, and we've already been doing that in a public space now. Paul took with him, after 14 years, 2 people. One of them, Titus, was a living and walking testimony of the grace of God. We read in verse 3 that he was a Greek. He wasn't Jewish. He also wasn't compelled, after this meeting, he wasn't compelled to be circumcised, as in to fulfill the law of Moses and to become a Jew, to become a proper Christian. He was a walking testimony of the grace of God. And what we need as we try and stay on the pathway of the gospel is we need people who are living, walking, talking testimonies of the grace of God. So who can you think of that's in your life that helps you see the grace of Jesus? Sometimes people put on a mask, put on a show, try to hide their past or their failings. And because they're trying to hide it, we cannot see the grace of Jesus at work as much. Maybe you have people that remind you of the grace of Jesus. If you don't, find some. And to find some, it might be that you need to go up to someone and say, you know, James last week was saying that your story is epic. The story of God in your life is epic. What is your story? Can you tell me? Because the story of Paul was a story of grace. He was a murderer, someone who was holding the coat for when Stephen was stoned for being a follower of Jesus. And then he met Jesus and his life was transformed. Paul's story was an epic story of grace. But rather than just relying on his testimony, he took with him his son in the faith, Titus 1 verse 4, the one he was discipling, the one that he cared for, and he was a walking, talking testimony of God's grace. Have you forgotten your story of grace? Have you got someone who will tell you their story of grace, of God's grace at work in their lives? We need someone to steady us with the truth of God's grace. So who's that going to be? And how will you have that in community? And then there's this other guy. Who's the other guy with Paul?
Barnabas.
Barnabas. We can be confident it's up on the screen. It's there. It's also in your Bibles as you look down in Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. He goes there, this time with Barnabas. Well, actually, Barnabas has taken Paul to Jerusalem before, because Paul was in Damascus, and the people in Jerusalem were wondering, well, they had heard, as we saw last week at the end of the passage James spoke on, we saw that the people in Jerusalem had heard that the one who used to persecute the followers of Jesus had become a follower of Jesus himself, and they praised God because of him. But we read in Acts chapter 9 that when Paul goes to Jerusalem, they're a bit nervous about meeting him. So Barnabas actually then goes and finds Saul and brings him into the community with Peter and the others so that they meet Paul. So Barnabas goes with Paul. Anyone know anything about Barnabas? People know him for encouragement. And we need to know that Barnabas was a son of encouragement. That's the first reference up there. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 to 37. We read in that passage that Barnabas, who was also known as Joseph and had a nickname Barnabas, or was named by the disciples Barnabas, open brackets, son of encouragement, close brackets, was a generous man. He had a field and he sold it and he brought all the money from that before the disciples. We need people who will remind us of the grace of God, but we also need people to encourage us in our walk. And for most of this week, I've thought, oh, that's a good message to have people of grace and people of encouragement. Isn't that wonderful? We need that as we walk. But God always has a way of taking us deeper. In Acts chapter 4, it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Luke is writing the book of Acts in Greek, but he uses Barnabas's nickname, which is a Hebrew nickname. Bar meaning son of. So Bartimaeus, which we read in the Gospels, is son of Timaeus. So what do you think Barnabas means? Son of? Son of Nebus. But if Luke was actually using a Hebrew name, son of encouragement, he would have actually used the name Bar-Labab. Because the Hebrew word for encouragement is Labab. So why on earth does he use the name Barnabas or Barnabi? Well, it's a nickname, and maybe the disciples forgot the Hebrew. I don't know. But that question came to mind, so I prayed about it. And then, because I don't know Hebrew, I had to look it up in a Hebrew Bible and looked up the word Nabi, or Nebi. Nebi in Aramaic, Nabi in Hebrew. Because Barnabas wasn't just a son of encouragement, someone who goes, keep going, you're doing well. He's not just a good man, which it says in Acts chapter 11, he's not just a good man. Barnabi, Nabi, means prophet, means God's word revealed, God's message revealed. So Barnabi or Barnabas isn't just an encourager, a strengthener, someone who will put courage in, but he is someone who will hear from heaven and take that message and place it within a disciple. This wasn't just his name. As we read in Acts chapter 11, this is someone who lived this out. News of the church in Antioch was received in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem had heard that Gentiles were coming to faith. So they sent Barnabas, who we also know is recognized as an apostle in Acts chapter 14, verse 14. They send Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived, this is verse 23 of chapter 11 of Acts. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them to all remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Barnabas goes and finds Saul, takes him to Antioch. Massive things happen with that church there. I just want to emphasize that if we're to stay in step with the gospel, we need people that will remind us of God's grace and people who will prophetically speak God's truth right from the heart of heaven into our lives. We need our arms out. We also need our eyes open. Paul uses a racing analogy here. He says that I wanted to be sure that I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. That's in verse 2. But actually in verse 2, he reveals why he actually went there. And he says, I went in response to a revelation. Not an invitation, but a revelation. And we don't know whether this was in response to the revelation from the prophet Agabus in Acts chapter 11, that some aid was to be taken to Jerusalem, or whether it was God speaking to the church in Antioch to send Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem for a council meeting, which was which we read of in Acts chapter 15. Regardless of when and why the revelation was given, the message was the same, and he goes in obedience. Go to Jerusalem, and he goes. We need God revealing his words, his messages, so that we keep in step with the gospel. It cannot be that we just hear the good news and receive the good news and expect our lives to stay rooted in the good news. As a result of their visit, as a result of taking a walking testimony in Titus and a prophetic encourager in Barnabas, and Paul sharing his message, these things happen. A recognition of the grace of the gospel in verse 3. A confirmation of the gospel in verse 6. An affirmation of Paul's calling and ministry to the Gentiles in verse 7, 8, and 9. And a celebration of the freedom of the gospel in verse 5. I've rapidly gone through some teaching from these two verses. I want to make it a bit more practical. I want us to understand that if we want to be a follower of Jesus and stay walking in the gospel, in the truth of the gospel of grace shown to us through Jesus, we need to realize that God speaks today. He reminds us of his grace speaking through people's lives. He reminds us of, or tells us what his word is saying and his spirit is saying through people of encouragement around us, but also his spirit wants to speak to us ourselves. Just three things to help us. God's spirit speaks to us in our private spaces. If we want to hear from God, because God is speaking, will we hear from him? If we want to hear from him, our arms need to be out in worship. Our eyes need to be open, looking at his word. Our ears need to be open and listening to his spirit, and our hearts need to be open to receive and then to obey. So what is God going to use to speak to us in our private spaces, in our public spaces, in our personal spaces? Well, he's going to use the word of God. In the New Testament, there are three different words or ways that the word of God is used. One is logos, for the written word of God. Two is logos, meaning the living word of God, Jesus. And then the third is rhema, which is the spirit illuminating or giving a fresh word from heaven. The rhema word, or rhema word, is a divinely inspired message, an impression upon our soul. Sometimes we say we sense that the Spirit is saying something. It's like the Holy Spirit whispering to our spirit, saying, peace, joy. So often the Holy Spirit will speak in a whisper, especially in our private spaces or to us individually. Why? Well, we see in 1 Kings 19 a great reason why. Elijah goes onto a mountain to meet God, and there's fire, and there's wind, and there's earthquake, and God wasn't in those. He was in a whisper. And when someone whispers, we've got to lean in and lean in some more so that we can hear what the person is whispering. And God's Spirit will often use a whisper. So we say, is that you, Lord? Is that you? I'm stepping closer to you. Because God is a God who wants to relate to us and have us be close to him. So often he'll use a whisper and speak to us in private spaces. Give us pictures, images, or visions of something that he wants to encourage us with. I say arms out in our private spaces because God will often speak when we worship him. God will often speak when we lift him high and remember how big and great he is. He speaks in our private spaces. He speaks in our personal spaces, in community, in close friendship and family. This is the arms out, holding on to one another and speaking God's word into our lives, into each other's lives. Who is it that you have allowed to be in that personal space with you? If our response to God's Spirit speaking to us in private spaces is, speak, Lord, I'm listening. In our personal space, it's, speak, Lord, we are listening. And then in our public space, it's, speak, Lord, we as a whole church are listening. As we gather to worship each Sunday, we don't just come out of tradition or duty or just to see our friends. We come to hear from Jesus and then to do what he says. Rather than going into the other verses which was actually set for this week, I want us to pause here and respond to God. And it might be that you have a prophetic word to encourage people. You might sense that God is saying something that you need to share with someone in particular. If it is a word or a message, a sense of something that strengthens them in their walk, encourages them in following Jesus, or comforts them, have a go and share it with them. Share it humbly and say, I just have a sense that God is saying this, or God may be saying this. The worst thing that can happen is you've just strengthened them, encouraged them, and comforted them. The best thing that can happen is you've just been a Barnabas, a son of encouragement, and a son of the prophet, well, a son of prophecy. It might be that you get insight into someone's life and they have not just wobbled, but they've wandered from the gospel path. And you need to actually say, I know your story is a story of grace. Come back to God. Just like Titus was a story of grace. Can I encourage you as we respond to God and as we worship that people go out, go around sharing? It might be that you have a sense, like Jenny had a sense earlier on, to share something publicly, that in a public space, that is for someone. I had an image in the first service that I shared, and then someone actually gave an application of it. I had an image of a fork, and that people just had a fork, and I thought it was a fork for eating. Actually, that they had a sense that it wasn't a fork for eating, that as you ate, so many of the things were falling through. But they had a sense that for our church, there are people who are using a fork, and the things that need to be taken out of the soil just keep falling through the prongs of the fork. And actually, we need a spade from the Spirit. We need a spade to dig out the roots of the things that need to be removed. I share that for people to kind of pray into. So, I'm going to pray. The worship group will come up and lead us in response. If you have a sense of God saying something particular to share publicly, can you come down to James or myself and we'll allow a space for that? If you are someone that just needs to share what God is placing on your heart with someone else in the room or via a message or someone online, do just go up to them and say, I'm just sharing this. I think that God is wanting to say it. Be brave and be bold. Be humble and gentle. And if it's something that God is saying to you and you just think, actually, I just need someone to pray over me so that I can hear God and see him more clearly, I would love you to come and be prayed for. And we'll simply pray verses that Jesus said, or words that Jesus said from Luke chapter 18 and Mark chapter 7. Jesus says, see, your faith has healed you. And he placed his hands on someone's ears and said, be opened. So we pray that now, Jesus, that you will open our eyes so we can see what you are doing and how you're leading. And you can unblock our ears so we can hear your Spirit speaking clearly. I pray that over our whole church, whether we're in this room or upstairs or online, that we see and hear. That we become Barnabases, not just encouraging with nice words, but words straight from the Father's heart. Thank you, God, that it's not from us, but we're sons and daughters of you. Let us be people who share what you are saying, Father. Speak to us by your Spirit in accordance with your words, so that we do not wobble and conform to the world or pressures that are put on us, but we keep walking with you, Jesus. Amen.